Mark chapter 16. We're going to read verse 15 together. We're going to pray and then get into the message this evening. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Mark 16 and verse 15. All together. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for the great commission found here in the Gospel of Mark. I pray, Father, you bless us. You give us ears to hear. You challenge us. You change us. Help us, dear God, to be doers of the word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, in this verse, Jesus points out who is to go, where we are to go, what our message is, and to whom it is to be delivered. The messenger is those of us who are saved. The message is the gospel, the good news of salvation through faith in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We are told to take it to one and all, and we are to be creature reachers. The command for us is to go. And the ye means you. It is God's plan to use believers to reach others for whom Christ has died. No believer is excluded from this command, and no excuse that one can offer up is valid. We are all to be fishers of men. We all ought to be ambassadors for Christ. We all ought to be laborers in the fields that are white unto harvest, and servants of the Lord that go into the highways and byways, compelling sinners to come to Christ. God certainly does not want people to die and go to hell. For we read this in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. That's speaking of the promise of his return. As some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The reason he hasn't come yet is he's still giving sinners an opportunity to get saved. He's not willing that the lost perish. And if that is the case, then we need to be about the Master's business. We need to be seeking and saving that which is lost. God proved how important the souls of men are when he gave his only begotten Son to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God saved us for a purpose, and it includes doing our part when it comes to fulfilling the Great Commission. Yes, we are all to be personal soul winners. Let's read our text verse once again. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, is that a command for evangelists? Yes, it is. Is that a command for pastors? Yes, it is. Is that a command for deacons? Yes, it is. Is it a command for every believer as well? Yes, it is. Now, notice the word ye. Now that's referring to us, those of us who are born again. You may say, well, you know what? I'm not sure that the ye in that verse means me. Well, if it doesn't, then ask and you shall receive doesn't refer to you either. Along with other numerous promises that have the word ye in them. Now the Lord is talking to us. As individuals, we all have a personal responsibility to get the gospel to every creature. Now, I'm fully aware that I can only be in one place at a time. And there's no possibility of me personally delivering the gospel to every creature. But I should get it to those that I can and should then financially and prayerfully assist others to go where I am unable to be. While it is a wonderful thing to support missionaries, we must never forget our responsibility on the home front For after all, how can we send somebody else to do the job in a foreign field where we're not willing to go in our own neighborhoods? Think about the maniac of Gadara that got saved. His life was transformed. You find him sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's now clothed in his right mind. And he asked Jesus if he could be with him. And Jesus tells him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on the Lord, on thee. Now the Lord sent him back home, for there was people there that needed to hear the good news. Now I don't know about you, but I'm sure his people, his family and his friends, they knew what happened to him. They knew that he was living amongst the tomb. They knew that he was cutting himself, that he was howling, and that he was hurting himself, and that he's running around naked amongst the dead. And I don't know about you, but can you imagine him coming home now clothed, in his right mind, no doubt probably got a haircut, smiling, happy to be saved, and he comes home. Maybe by the time he left, he was already demon-possessed and causing havoc in his home and amongst his friends. Maybe as he comes up to the home has been neglected a bit. No one's there taking care of it. Maybe the door's not shutting properly. Maybe the fence hasn't been painted for a while. And maybe, you know what, he's walking down there, down that dusty road to his home, and maybe his little girl's out front in the yard playing, and she's looking, and her eyes get big, and she says, oh, it's Daddy coming home! And she runs in the house and tells her mom. And her mom comes and shuts the door, doesn't want to have anything to do with him. And they listen, and they wait. Is he going to do some crazy thing again? Is he going to be speaking all kinds of nonsense? Is he going to be tearing off his clothes and running around naked? And all of a sudden they hear him whistling. And they peek out the window. And there he is smiling. And he knocks on the door. Says, please let me in. I'm a changed man. Jesus has transformed my life. He says, I got some good news for you. You too can get saved. You too can have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You too can one day walk on streets of gold. You see, he needed to reach his own family, his neighbors and his friends. They needed to hear the same gospel message that transformed his life. Everyone is commanded to be a soul winner and to be a witness for Jesus. Now, none of us can physically go into all the world, but should we not go into the world where God has placed us? Listen, some of you will go places I will never go. You'll meet people who I'll never see. The Lord will bring people into your life that he will never bring into mine. And he expects you and I to be witnesses of him. In Luke 19:10, we read about this when it comes to the Savior. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now Jesus came to be what? A soul winner. He left his Father's house for souls. He left the heralding of angels for souls. He left a crowning glory for souls. He shed tears for souls. He prayed for souls. He sweat and bled for souls. He suffered for souls. He gave his time, his energy. He left heaven, came down to this earth, gave his life for souls. He gave his time for souls. His last words before ascending into heaven was in connection with us being witnesses. He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, Jesus has given us a command to be soul winners. And do you realize there's no better way to honor the Father than telling others about the Son? In John 15, verse 8, it says, here it is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now, what type of fruit do you think a Christian should bear? Other Christians. Amen. Soul winning is a thrilling, exciting adventure. It's wonderful to preach and see sinners come forward to the altar and be dealt with and receive Christ as Savior. But it is also a great joy to witness someone blinded by sin and the devil and see the lights turn on in their eyes and see them trust Christ and watch them being born anew and being witness of that great miracle of salvation. Sometimes they are teary. Sometimes they shout. Other times they express some gratitude that you came by and told them about Jesus. Now, I don't know of a better use of the Word of God than to open it up and to preach to others about Christ. The one who sets out to win souls is involved in a great spiritual work, and every believer ought to be involved with that. They ought to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, use the Word of God, and turn someone from darkness to light, from a child of the devil to a son of God, and witness an ain't transformed into a saint the moment they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm as certain as I can be about every believer's responsibility in getting the gospel out and reaching people. I'm positive that this is just what the Lord would have us do. I also know that there are some negatives that we will face. You know, when one goes door to door, as stated in Acts chapter 20, verse 20 and 21, you never know what you will meet. Now, those verses say, and how I kept back, this is Paul speaking, nothing that was profitable unto you, but showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you knock on a door, you may meet someone who is kind, someone who is welcoming, and wanting to know how to go to heaven. Or you just may come across someone who's antagonistic, a bit angry and argumentative. Yesterday, we just didn't win Tanner and we just didn't win Kevin. But you know, before we won Kevin, we knocked on this lady's door, and I use that term lightly, and we put a track in that door, and we were going around. We just got done talking to Jose, and we missed out on his twin brother, Jose B. But anyways, after we got done talking to him, we're going down the sidewalk. This lady comes busting out the door. Now, she didn't answer it when we were there, and she held up that gospel track and said, you know what? Our house is not religious. Don't bother us. And I should have said something, and I didn't. But I should have said, you know what? We should have been able to tell by your sweet spirit that you weren't religious. Now, I don't know why her house had this stigma of not being religious. I didn't notice anything other than a cat statue, and that should have been a dead giveaway. Now, you never know what's behind door number one, door number two, door number three, and so on. Some will invite you in. Others try to intimidate you. You can be loved by some and loathed by others. Some will give you the bum's rush, but the next door you may lead them down the Romans road. Some will encourage you. Some will discourage you. Some will be haughty and look down at you. And then there are those who are happy to see you. You will meet some who are saved and bitter, some who are saved and not in church, some who are saved and happy in Jesus. But mostly, you will be met by people who are lost in sin, and they behave just that way. Some will be contrite. Others are plain contrary. But no matter who answers the door, we must remind ourselves we are to be creature reachers, and we are simply there to give them the good news. Now, if they don't want to hear it, it's on them. And if they're already saved, we ought to be there to encourage them in the Lord. When out soul winning, people of various backgrounds can be challenging. Some will have PhDs. You say, what's that? Push here, dummies. And they'll be highly educated mostly beyond their intelligence. And there will be those who lack in that department. They're the sharpest marble in the bag. Some are young. Some are old. Some will be rich. Others don't have much of this world's goods. You will knock on doors, and they will be answered by some who are males, some who are females, and others that'll confuse you. Some speak good English, others hardly any at all. Some you will wish they didn't speak English, for you really don't want to hear what's coming out their mouth. It doesn't happen often, but I've been fussed out, cussed out, and some just want to get rid of us. Yet we go not to outsmart anybody, not to look up or look down on anyone, but to deliver them the simple gospel message that Jesus saves. Some will resist our witness by holding on to their religious beliefs. Yesterday, while I was out, this woman, I knocked on a door, and she didn't really have the sweetest of spirits, wondering, what do you want? And I said, well, I'm here. I'd like to tell you about heaven. I already know how to get to heaven. I said, you do? Well, I said, why don't you tell me how one gets there? It's found in the Bible. I said, yeah, it's found in the Bible. That's where the answer would come from. I said, but what is the answer? She says, you ought to know. You're a pastor. I said, no, I want to hear what you have to say. What is your answer? And she said, well, you got to do this. You got to be baptized. You got to blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, let me show you from the Bible. I already know what the Bible says. I told you I read it. I said, well, I'd like to show you what the Bible says about going. I already know. You got to do this, this, and this. And I said, okay, we'll be on our way. I'm not there to argue with you. But if you're ready to hear, I will open up the scriptures and show you how you can know for sure that heaven is your home. Some, they just trust their religious beliefs. That's what they've been taught. That's what they believe. And they don't want to be confused with biblical facts. They, when asked if they, you know, people, you ask them if they were to die like Joe did, are they 100% certain they would go to heaven? You know, some will say, you know what, I'm Catholic. We ran across a guy yesterday, Catholic. He says, well, I'm Catholic. And Ben was doing the talking this time, and he says, well, you know what? He says, we're not here to get you out of church or anything, but we want to ask you if you die today, 100% certain you go to heaven. He said, nobody could know that. And he said, yes, you can. And he says, I'd like to show you from the Bible. He says, no, that's okay. Now, that's sad. You don't know. There's somebody who's got the answer. You're not getting it at your church. They're not going to tell you. But someone knocks on your door to give you the gospel message, and you say you're not interested. I'm Catholic. Or I'm Mormon. I'm Jehovah's Witness. When I run across those folks, I say, really? So am I. And they look at me and they say, I thought you said you were pastor of Faith Baptist Church. I said, I am. I said, but I'm a Jehovah Witness. They say, really? I said, yeah. I witness a Jehovah Jesus. Isn't that what you're talking about? They'll say, I'm Pentecostal. And I've met some that say, well, I'm a Baptist. I then respond with the statement, I didn't ask what religion you are. I asked if you died, are you 100% certain you'd go to heaven? I've learned early on that religious affiliation has no bearing on whether one is fit for glory or not. I even met my fair share of Baptists who need to get born again. Religion is no substitute for the new birth, for if it was, then why did Jesus tell Nicodemus, a master in Israel, ye must be born again? Sin issues can hinder the lost from wanting to hear the gospel message. For Jesus not only saves from the penalty of sin, but he also gives one power to deliver them from sin as well. When a person is involved and in bondage in some type of sin, they realize that getting saved would either mean they got to give up that sin or they're going to be miserable in that sin. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He was too late. You see, no one can do nothing. Eternal life is a free gift. When Jesus pointed out his sin of coveting riches, he went away what? Grieved. Many turned down the Savior for sin. I've been told by some that they'll get saved, but it'll be after some party they plan on attending. Like Felix, they put it off for some more convenient time. And like Pharaoh, they want one more night with the frogs. Doesn't that boggle your mind? He calls Moses and says, get rid of these frogs. And Moses says, when? Now, you would think, you know what? Why do I have to ask when? He probably wants immediate relief. And he says, tomorrow. Now, how dumb is that? I would have probably said, well, let's wait till next week. We are there to give them the light of the glorious gospel. But some men like darkness because their deeds are evil. You will not be able to tell who's going to be receptive to the gospel and those who aren't. Some that you would expect to give you a hearing won't. But others you may think want nothing to do with the gospel are those who are ready to receive it. Now we have all known good moral people that are law-abiding and willing to give their shirt off their back to help others out. Yet when you witness to them, they want nothing to do with Jesus. It leaves you confused. And then on the other hand, you meet some so-called dregs of society. They are moral. They look like they play lead guitar in some thrash metal band. They lived a hard life. They're tatted up. They got stuff all over their face, all kinds of different earrings and piercings all over. They look like they fell face first in a tackle box. They're known for their sinfulness, but they want to hear the good news, and they've been wanting to hear it for quite some time. You see, looks are deceiving. But the gospel is for whosoever. When sharing the gospel, you will not know immediately who is sincere and who isn't. You and I cannot see what took place in the heart of those who made a profession. We don't really know if they truly meant business. I believe every soul winner has walked away after someone prayed the sinner's prayer, scratching their head and wondering, did they really get saved or not? They exhibited no emotion. They didn't even smile. They didn't shout. They didn't shed tears. But that's no indication if one got saved. One is saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. One cannot determine if there's any gas in the tank by how loud the horn honks. Or by how big the waterworks show is. Some soul winners say, man, you should have seen. You know, they go out and they win somebody to the Lord and they say, man, they really got saved. As opposed to just getting saved. Pray tell me what's the difference. But when they're saying that, you know what? There's some shouting involved. There's some tears that are flowing. There's some indication that they're saying they really got saved. Well, how do you determine that? That's on them. Our task is to share the gospel. The sinner's responsible for believing it. As a soul winner, you won't see immediate spiritual growth in your converts. Now, it's exciting to see folks trust Christ as their Savior, but don't expect them to turn into the Apostle Paul overnight. We need to let them grow. We need to let the Spirit of God and the Word of God do a work in them. Remember, they are babes in Christ. They need to be nourished by the milk of the Word. In some cases, a person will be saved for months or even years before they lay hold of the things of God and start living a life that pleases the Lord. Now, encouraging them is one thing, but pushing them is quite different. I know when I got saved that I was R-U-F-F rough. But the church I went to gave me time to figure things out. They pointed me in the right direction without forcing me. Now, I pastored here for nearly 30 years now. Some have been under my ministry for quite a long time. And for some, it has been the last couple of years that you're finally laying hold of the truth and putting it into practice. So as God has been patient with us, let's do the same with our new converts. These people we meet out soul winning and promise us that they'll be here on Sunday don't always show up. Promises made easily become promises broken. And while the convert may be sincere, we should not forget that there is a devil that'll throw up all kinds of roadblocks to keep for them from coming to church. Sometimes, and most of the times, it's family. And you know the sad thing is, family keeps many of the saints away from church as well. Sometimes it's friends. At other times, it can be illness. And with some, they have a hard time getting out of bed, for they're not used to getting up and going to church on Sundays. But that shouldn't stop you from soul winning. For it hasn't stopped me from pastoring. As many people are tired and can't come to church. Tired and can't come to church. Give me a break. Don't they know church is happening? And when it's happening, why don't they take a nap before church time? Pretty easy, isn't it? There's an easy solution to the problem. If I had a nickel for every church member who told me they'd be at church on Sunday and didn't show up, my financial bottom line would be a whole lot better than it is. It certainly seems to me that the great task of the church today is not only to get sinners into heaven, but to get the saints into church and be faithful. As a soul winner, don't measure your success by the number of professions you have. We do well to do as much as we can, as often as we can, and then to ask the Lord to bless our efforts. Whether we seem to succeed or fail, don't let the outcome affect the effort. If you win a soul, it's no time to stop. If you don't, it's no time to stop either. Let's just do what we are commanded to do for the time we are committed to doing it. Sometimes we're simply sowing seed. Other times we're simply watering seed. Seed that someone else has sown. But when one gets saved, let's just praise God for the increase. Now, Paul lays this principle out in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 through 8. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own, what? To the own number of folks who got saved. Is that what it says? His own labor. You see, God will bless the labor, not the outcome. You know, sometimes we need to just get that monkey off our back. It's not about the numbers, not about seeing results. It's about God blessing the hours and the labor we put in and doing what we are told to do. Listen, it's not the results that is rewarded, it's the labor. Now, as soul winners, we can be affected negatively by others. Others will say such things, where are your converts? If they really got saved, they would be in church. Often people in church make such comments. My reply in the past has been, well, where are yours? Oh, that's right. You don't have any because you don't go. But after thinking about what they said, I'm going to use their unscriptural logic against them. And I'll say, so is everyone who's really saved in church? What would be the answer? No. Now, should they be in church? Yes. So next time someone says, where are your converts? If they really got saved, they'd be in church. I'm going to say, well, if you really got saved, you'd be out there making some converts. Now, can one be saved and not go soul winning? Yes. So is every believer in Christ laboring in the fields that are white unto harvest? No. You see what I'm getting at? They have an unscriptural reply, and so I'm going to hold their feet to the fire. If they're truly saved, should they be going? Yes. But if they're not, are they still saved? Yes. Salvation has nothing to do with church attendance. Nor if you don't go soul winning, is it an indication that you're not saved? Sometimes you need to answer a fool according to their folly, lest they be wise in their own conceit. Even though these converts of ours may never come to our church, that doesn't mean they can't be found in Christ. That doesn't mean that they can't be found in Lamb's Book of Life. That they won't be found when we are raptured and gathered together in the air to be with Jesus. I've had the displeasure of hearing some so-called fundamental Baptist preachers tell me that soul winning no longer works. Well, whether it works or not, and by the way, it does, we are to continue to obey the Great Commission unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 tells us this. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. When I was at that conference in Texas, my friend Brother May brought an excellent message on where are the converts. And he talked about the sower and the seed. He said, notice here, there's four different types of soil. He says, you know, one, he says, you sow the seed, and guess what? The devil's dirty birds come and take it up. And it finds no root. He says, and then others, you know what? They land on what? Stony ground. Now, there's not much root, but immediately they receive the word, right? Would that mean they're saved? Yes. And then there's others. What's the other one? Oh, the others are choked out by riches and the cares of this life. Now, when you read about them, it says they received the word, so would they be saved? Yes. And then there's others that are planted in good soil, and they, what, produce fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. Now, I'm not saying 75% of the people hear the gospel get saved. But he's talking about the different types of soils and the different types of reaction. And some of those, two of those, you're not going to find in church. Isn't that amazing? Some actually get offended at the word. Now, this nuts I know. I've been soul winning in neighborhoods where these guys' churches are located. And lo and behold, in both cases, I've seen sinners in their neighborhoods where their churches are located come to Christ. Matter of fact, one's still coming here. Him and his wife got saved. They've been coming off and on for quite some time. And what a blessing that is. Now, he only lived a few blocks away from one of these guys' church. You see, I believe in soul winning. I was personally led to the Lord by one, and so was Connie. Thank God for those who haven't given up, and they go despite what takes place when they do and what the naysayers have to say. Today's a good day for one to commit themselves to the task of reaching the perishing, snatching sinners from the fire. Let us not say no when the Master tells us to go, for after all, we were told to tell. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.